The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack. I think I'm in trouble edition of... Did you like him?
I never thought Lindsay Buckingham would actually get a run on the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast, Ben.
No, it did. Just did, Kingy. So I think we're in trouble. It's official. We're in trouble.
Geelong are in trouble.
Yes.
Are they playing finals?
I think they will be scratching to play finals given their draw.
Mm.
I just think, like, we spoke about it, Kingy, and I know that we consoled ourselves, or Cat fans did, to a degree. I mean, last Saturday night that, you know, we lost the game, but we had a lot of players out. The reality was that
Giants had a few out too. Had,
they were missing Kelly, Haynes and Himmelberg. And
that sounds like my law firm.
Yes, HMAS Himmelberg. He left the dock. He didn't require the tugboat. Have you ever seen a tugboat, Kingy?
It's
a vessel that helps you just guide you through the...
the rip.
Have you ever required one of those?
No, I haven't required one of those.
Either have I, Kingy. But they are extraordinary vessels. But
you're an extraordinary vessel.
So the reality was, though, Tom.
Yes, Ben.
Is that Geelong got beaten by a team that had won three games.
Yep, at home.
And were headed, never really looked like, I know they got back to 2 points, but they would have stolen the game. GWS deserved to win.
Mm.
That's the reality. That's where they're at. Their midfield, Kingy, as it stands right now, is if you take West Coast out of the competition because they are irrelevant at the moment.
Geelong has the worst.
Geelong has the worst midfield in the competition, and that's no slight on the players that are playing in there. They're just not equipped to be frontline midfielders.
No.
And with Dangerfield, Guthrie, Duncan and Holmes out, their midfield is just unfortunately unable to compete. And they will get absolutely munched on Saturday, I would have thought, by the likes of Bontempelli, McRae, Liberatore. I think Treloar
might be back.
Treloar comes back. Added to that, King, is that they have a dominant ruckman in Tim English. We've got John Segler. That's not good. That is not good in anybody's language, Kingy. So our fear for the Cats on Saturday night. You know, it's no surprise. We've spoken about this before on the podcast that the influence of Hawkins and Cameron has declined when the midfield suddenly became bereft of options. You lose Radaglia. It's easy to be critical, I know, when you're losing. I just thought that hindsight's a wonderful thing. The wisdom of playing De Koning forward last week, well, I just didn't see it.
I think Jack Henry would have been the better option forward.
Well, you've got... So this is my thing. You've got De Koning, who's had a very average year. I'm not having a go at him. He's just... Things haven't gone right for him. He got clobbered early. He missed some time. He cops a facial injury. Even when he was playing earlier in the year, he wasn't playing anywhere near to the form of last year. He's still a young player, so he's having an experience, for want of a better term. He's gaining some experience, but to bring him in off the back of that and play him up forward, looking like Hannibal Lecter, when he's made his name as a defender. When you already have Hawkins and Cameron and you're bringing back Ollie Henry as well as another marking option, they were too tugboatish at ground level. I just didn't see. I can't for the life of me know why he just didn't play in defence. Now, Radaglia's out now, so at least that pushes De Koning into defence for this week. I don't know. They've got Bruce and up forward Bruce.
Norton.
And, well, no, I'm talking about defence for the Dogs. Oh. Bruce and Keith played in the twos.
Yep.
So whether or not they come back in... But I really think the Cats are up against it this weekend, because I know that they've said that Dangerfield is some chance to return. I was reading between the lines of what the coach said, which is not always a great indicator. I get that. He can sometimes be talking, you know, Hebrew, and he actually is trying to give you a little bit of Spanish. So you don't throwing you off.
I thought you were going to say Sanskrit or something like that.
Throwing you... Who?
Sanskrit.
Sanskrit?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's an old language.
Is it?
Hmm.
I think they're pushing the old, you know, what up the hill Saturday night. So we're talking about players coming
so
back.
Geelong.
Dangerfield, I listened to Chris Scott last week, and he was sort of intimating that they wouldn't be rushing anybody back before the bye. Now, I took that to mean that he was probably talking about Dangerfield.
Mm.
We heard Mitch Duncan say he's certainly not playing this week. I don't think Cam Guthrie's playing this week. So the only person he could really have been talking about as the big name, I thought, was Dangerfield. in terms of waiting until after the bye. Now, I think the Cats are, and this is fine because they're coming off a flag. I think they're putting all their eggs into the basket that after the bye, they get troops back and they can make some sort of run to playing finals. The problem will be, King, is if they don't win this week, they go to 5-7. The following week when they do get players back, they're probably not going to be at 100%. You're playing Port Adelaide away.
Yep. And then you got Melbourne.
You go 5-8. The following week they're still probably not at 100%. They're 5-9. That becomes a really difficult equation if they can't win one of the next three games.
Because then they'd need to win at least 8 of their last 9 to play finals.
Yeah, and I don't think that is happening. So they need to find a way to win one. I mean, if they could win 2, you'd be naked.
And that last 9 includes going to Sydney.
Collingwood.
Going to Brisbane.
Yeah.
And Collingwood.
I think they're pushing the old, you know.
Proverbial.
It's going to be a very, very fine line, Kingy.
Bowes back, Rowan back.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bowes is, you're not sort of coveting him as the saviour to come back. Rowan is handy. Mm. It allows Jack Henry to probably go back to defence, which they're going to need now that Radaglia is out.
Yep.
Henry and alongside De Koning and Colajasny is your 3. I thought Colajasny's been in good form.
It's almost your premiership backline.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah, so the defence is okay. I just think that midfield is going to get absolutely pillaged, unfortunately, and the Bulldogs' absolute strength is their midfield.
Yep.
It's not up forward or down back. And Norton's a good player, but they don't have a great supporting cast. Their one wood is their midfield. Geelong at the moment, their midfield's more like a lob wedge.
McRae 33
it's a 64
touches,
64-degree lob wedge.
33 last week. Bonampelli 27 last week. Was a game last year the Cats made that really fast start, wasn't it? I think they kicked 5 or 6 in the first quarter.
And then hung on.
And just hung on.
Yeah. It was a fine line, Kingy. Very fine line.
Yep.
Kingy, you're eating snakes in this podcast, this I Think I'm in Trouble podcast, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble after what we just spoke about. But
so the Cats went to the mid-season draft and picked up Mitch Hardy.
Yeah, old Mitch.
From Woodville West Torrens.
Call him the Plank. His nickname's the Plank.
25-year-old. You're a Plank. 25-year-old, born in Leeton. In the Riverina.
I worked up that way, yep.
Senior footy in both Canberra and Adelaide, averaging 25 disposals and a goal for Woodville West Torrens. Represented Sandful against the Waffle.
Mm-hmm.
Played with Tyson Stengel, but also played alongside our old mate Dan Menzel.
Yeah, I texted Dan last night when I heard that. I forgot all about the draft, to be honest with you. And I thought about 9:30. I thought, oh, the draft was on tonight. I thought we were going to select that Naismith, the ruckman from Port Melbourne, but so I had a look and we picked up Mitch Hardy. So I text Dan, and this was the scouting report from K-Rock's own Dan Menzel. He's a great guy. Won our 2's best and fairest is at Woodville West Torrens just 2 years ago when we won the flag. So the seniors won the flag and he won the 2's best and fairest. Has come on heaps. Was playing as a high pressure forward, but now dominated on ball. So probably similar to a Tom Atkins. So I sent back saying, is he got good skills and pace or more of a hard working type like Atkins? And he said, nah, good speed out of the contest and hits the shorts really well, Duncan like with that short kick.
Okay.
Limitation will be similar to Atkins on the bigger bodies that are more explosive, probably. So that was the scouting report from Dan Menzel, who knows Mitch quite well. So are you, Kingy, do you think, given the midfield woes, he wouldn't play this week, surely?
That's a big ask, isn't it?
Yeah, following week? Oh, the after the bye?
Maybe.
But they get some troops back then.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a big ask to draft Wednesday, play Saturday.
You would have thought.
Yeah. Unless Geelong have worded him up and he's got things in order and, like, and Geelong don't muck around, they will have him on a plane today. He'd have somewhere to stay, et cetera. He's probably catch to a captain's run tomorrow. They train Tuesday. I'd say they're training today. Captain's run tomorrow. I think best case is
you couldn't have thought.
Probably playing in the VFL.
The thing about it is, this is how bad the problems are, is that we've actually brought that up.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up. I would never have. Yeah. No.
Geez, they're...
Hey, unbelievable story if he does.
Yeah, it's probably unlikely, but it's something that you'd at least they probably thought about for 10 seconds and thought we couldn't do that, could we? Because they just need some reinforcements in there.
Number 14's available. Do you reckon they'll give it to him?
No. what are your thoughts about the
number?
Situation?
I reckon he'll wear number 41.
41? 41. Steve Hocking.
40. Yeah, first number for the CEO.
Who else wore 41? Any other famous 41s?
Nobody that comes to mind, but I'm probably going to kick myself when I look at AFL tables and go, oh, yeah, he wore 41. Yeah, he wore 41. Somebody probably really prominent wore number 41.
Hydro loves a bit of number action. He'll be able
Haven't heard from Hydro for a while.
No, he's been off the grid, I think. He's gone underground.
Jermaine Jones wore 41.
Oh, yeah, the R&B singer.
Played with
Rod Stewart.
Shane Mumford wore 41.
The big mummy, the sausage-eating Mumford.
Remember Jesse Stringer?
Yes.
He wore 41.
He had more problems than Lindsay Lohan with his injuries.
Gary Phillips played 1990.
Gary Phillips?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I remember. He's a local boy, I reckon.
Was he? No, I don't think Gary Phillips was local. Right. Ross Christensen wore...
Ross, yeah.
Before Marty and... Damien came along, I think.
Who else have we got?
Barry Eddy, Barry Eddy was a very good local footballer.
Right.
Very good local footballer and good VFA footballer with Red West. So there's some of the 41s.
Right. There you go. Well, good little history there on the number 41. And you're suggesting that Mitch Hardy be wearing 41.
Oh, that's a guess. Cause
what else?
41 and 40.
51?
41. No, well, they're VFL allocated, I think, from about 47 or 48.
I watched the VFL, a bit of the VFL on
played
Sunday.
Played Port Melbourne last week.
Yeah, there were some high numbers playing for the Cats.
Yeah, they only had probably seven or eight running
six,
around.
Six, I think.
Yeah, okay. Was it that few?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's happened? Have we sighted Deborah Conway?
Yeah, saw him at training on Tuesday.
He was actually training. Boots on? Did he have any footy gear on?
No, because he didn't have boots on because they were training at it. AWA Stadium out at Crows Road, basketball stadium.
Right.
Doing an indoor session, a touch session, Benny.
The old indoor session.
Yeah. I'm moving on, Benny. Do you want some questions?
About the indoor session?
No. From our friends on Twitter and Big Footy.
Do you hear about the, before you go on, last night there was a massive break-in at the Chemist Warehouse in Geelong West. Do you hear about that?
No.
Do you know all the only thing they stole?
The condoms?
No.
No?
The Viagra. I'm not joking.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know whether you're telling me the truth.
No, it's true.
All right.
Apparently they're looking for some hardened criminals.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Boom, boom. Nice one, Moz.
Great Australian jokes.
Boom, boom. Shane Bourne. Nice one, Moz.
Yeah.
Shane used to start every gag with, there was this guy. That's how he used to start every gag. There was this guy.
He's very funny, Shane Bourne.
He was, yeah.
Anyway.
There was this guy.
Trent Woodall. Hardened bodies withstand long seasons. Too many older Cats players started pre-season late. Insta pics of them all overseas whilst other clubs' full list were already training. So many soft tissue injuries, it makes you wonder if the Cats took their eye off the ball this pre-season. They were allowed a break. That's the thing. Like
they won the flag.
You play until September 24.
Yeah, you could have them back training in first week, you know. 6 weeks earlier, but it means they would have not played finals at all.
Mm.
No, look, it's just one of those seasons where things haven't worked. I do think that they would probably be looking at a few things soft tissue-wise. There has been a lot of soft tissue injuries, so no doubt I reckon that they'd be...
Now, Mitch Duncan doing it at training? Like, if you do it at running at full tilt and...
Right at the end of the session, he said. It was like 30 seconds of training to go, and he did it.
If you do it...
He does have a history of soft tissue injuries, and he's not young.
No.
That's unfortunately what is going to happen.
32 now?
And they train with a lot of intensity these days. It's not just like the old-fashioned circle work, Mole Podbury style up there at St. Joey's. It's actually, quite an intense session. That's how they... And that's what Geelong, well, every club does now. That what prepares you for the weekend. But Geelong have an ageing list, so you are going to cop those injuries. I mean, Stengel's injury was unlucky. The injury to Stanley was unlucky. Bose has obviously come back and had a few issues, calf and the like. Gary Rowan has always struggled with soft tissue injuries. Yeah. So it's. I think you can probably draw some dots, lines between dots there, and say, there's some players who have a history of those types of injuries. Unfortunately, we've all got them at the one time. Cam Guthrie turf toe. I mean, it's not. And as I said, I think if the Cats maybe had their time over again, they may have just dealt with Cam Guthrie slightly differently. Mm. They didn't, and he's going to what? This would be his seventh week missing.
Sixth.
Close.
6, I reckon.
He played round 4, did he? I thought he missed out after round 4.
No, it's not that far back. Let me just double check.
Okay, well, you check. While you're just letting your fingers do the walking, Tom.
Hello, yellow style.
Yellow pages style.
I thought round 6 was his last game.
Oh, well, I thought he played against Hawthorn and West Coast and then was out. Now, he might be right.
He played against Sydney, round 6.
Right. Yeah, well, okay. Well, he's his turf toe. It's not a soft tissue, so... Yeah, and then you get Dangerfield, who's an older player as well, who's probably, you know, susceptible to those types of injuries at his age and the way he plays. So I don't know that, but I do agree that that they probably would be looking at things, the Cats, in terms of how they're doing things and their rehab and their program, all that sort of thing. No doubt they continually revise all that and have a look at it. I don't think it makes any difference, and there's certainly nothing they can do now short term. But, I mean, I'd imagine that the program would be very similar to last year. I mean, the previous year, they finished where, Kingy?
Beaten preliminary finals.
Beaten in a prelim. So they probably only came back to a training a week earlier than they did this time.
Yep.
And it worked swimmingly for them last year. It just hasn't worked for them this year. And that can happen at clubs.
Paul Marinelli, do you think Chris Scott's ruining his decision not to play Mark Blake back in 2011? He's 37 now, but would currently run rings around Segler. And if he played on Saturday night, he would have qualified for father-son.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that Segler is not the option. I just don't know what you do there because...
Well, there's no other option.
Well, they need blitz halves in the ruck, playing as a midfielder. And obviously, and then he switches into the ruck at times as well. But the midfield is so depleted that you can't afford to take blitz halves out and just play him purely as a ruckman. Albeit that is just a follower in essence, I suppose. So you could argue it that way. I nearly think it's worth... against somebody like English, I think it's... I mean, English is a... He's a gun English. He is a bit more of a lumbering type, though, albeit more athletic than Segler. But he's not a, you know, possibly sort of a Brody... Well, I suppose he is in a Brody Grundy mould, isn't he? He's just a big boy. He marks it a lot. Oh, I just don't know what they do there, Kingy. I'm sure they're talking about leaving Segler out and playing blitz halves in the ruck, or even... Without Radigalia, though, they couldn't throw DeConing in the ruck. Not that I'm advocating they do that. They're just hamstrung with what they've got and the cattle that they've got at their disposal. But the discussion about Segler playing or not playing, I'm sure, is one that they'd be having.
His injury list, this is from Rexy39. Is the injury list starting to show the ageing list? Rowan, Danger, Duncan and Menegola, Stanley and possibly Guthrie all past their prime. Three of those players possibly won't play beyond this year. Will the injury list impact calls on the playing future of Hawkins?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean...
Hawkins will play on.
Yeah, I mean, he's had just an average patch, but it's coincided with an average midfield. He's just... Yeah, I mean, he's never been great at when the ball hits there. People are saying, oh, you know, he's not putting any on any defensive pressure. Well, he's never done that in his life.
No, it's not been his go.
He wasn't doing that last year either, but they were getting the ball to him in areas to his advantage and getting it into him quickly where he could do damage. That's what he needs. And at times this year, even when they've been beaten and he's had an opportunity one-on-one, he looks as damaging as ever.
Mm.
I mean, he was setting fire to Bolter early in that game against Richmond.
He kicked
suddenly
eight,
they started kicking it away from him, and Bolter was always going to outdo him on the, you know, leg speed-wise.
Yeah, kicked eight against Essendon only a month ago.
Yeah, you get it to him to his advantage. You give him 5 or 6 one-on-one opportunities in a game, he'll grab 3 or 4 of them.
Yep.
But he's just not getting those, and that's what hurts him. Cameron's been a little bit off target and hasn't been getting the ball as much closer to goal. He's had to come up the field a little bit, still playing well. But, I'm not buying into all this Tom Hawkins' pressure and all this sort of garbage. It's just the midfield is unfortunately not at the level where it gives him the opportunities that he needs. But if he's getting those opportunities, I haven't seen any drop-off from last year.
Grant Bench, proud of the effort, giving us a chance to win it over the whole game. Our defence at stoppages really hurt. If not for Stewart and Cole Jasny, we would have been really out of it. I'm worried about the form of Zach Tui.
Yeah, I agree there. I think if you've got more troops available, he would be talked about as not playing. But at the moment, there aren't any troops to play to replace him. He stays in the team, but yeah, he's not having great impact on games.
Teddy G, what about trying Buse in the midfield? When he allows himself, he does show some flair in tight situations.
Oh, I just don't think that's ever been his go. He's a defender and can be an attacking defender. We haven't seen a lot of that from him this year, the attacking side. I just don't think he's played all his footy in defence. I think that's too big a ask. I think you're more likely to get a forward, a mid-sized forward, to be able to go and play in the midfield rather than a mid-sized defender. I think it's a different mentality to that. And the forwards generally probably have a little bit more flair. Busey has flair just sort of bursting because he's quite athletic. But it's a different sort of flair we cry to play in the midfield. And I think the forwards, the mid-sized forwards, are more likely to be able to come up and help in the midfield, as we saw Stengel do. He ran out of gas, though. I think he had 9 possessions in the first quarter. Yeah, and then he only had
about a couple of chains where he was involved in 3 or 4.
And he only had about 5 or 6 for the rest of the game. So that's the problem, Kingy. So Stengel comes in, puts all his energy into the first quarter, plays well, but he's not a hardened midfielder, so he can't sustain it. Yeah. And then it takes away from his ability to actually impact when he does play forward, because he's stuffed. It's a medical term for tired, stuffed. So that's the flow-on effect of throwing these guys into the midfield. And that's what I always say about Jake Stringer for Essendon. Essendon fans go, oh, play him in the midfield. Yeah, well, great, play him in the midfield. And he'll do a couple of things, you think that's fantastic. But as soon as you put him up forward,
yeah,
he's cooked. Because
yep.
He doesn't have the tank and he's not fit and he looks like a country footballer.
Adrian Mancini, Kingy and Cass, the coaches are spinning the magnets a lot at the moment. SDK was 4, Jack went there too, then Ollie Henry went back. Once we settle on players in familiar positions, we get going. Are we trying too hard to fill gaps?
Well, they've got no choice but to try and fill gaps. That's the problem. They're hamstrung with their availability, and then that forces you to get creative, and getting creative is at this level is not going to come off more often than not, and it's usually a sign that you're struggling, that you're out of options, so you're starting to go to things at during the pre-season you wouldn't really contemplate as needing to do.
Yep.
But that's the same. It's the same as in a game, Kingy. If you go into a game, you know, let's just say it's a full strength team against a full strength team, and you're 7 goals down at half time, you've got to go into a bit of let's get creative, let's try something that's a bit out there, which is what the Cats are having to do week to week.
Hawkins is struggling when the ball isn't hitting him perfectly on the chest. His opponents are a lot quicker and agile, which then leads to rebound 50s and lost opportunities.
Yeah, but that's been happening for Cats small 10 forwards. Years.
Yeah, we spoke and we touched on that a little bit earlier. Medicus, why do players remove their mouth guard to take a set shot? They're not kicking the ball with their teeth.
Yes, I know. I think I've actually wondered that too. I don't know. I think it's something that's been seen to be done, so everybody does it. So, you know, somebody obviously, and I don't know who it is, King, you probably have a better idea than me, but somebody like a Lockett or a Dunstall, I think, did they used to do it?
Lockett didn't wear a mouth guard.
Dunstall did, I reckon.
He might have.
Yeah, Gary Senior, I'm not sure he wore one. He was too busy extricating other people's teeth out of their mouth with some sort of brutal hip and shoulder or an errant elbow, and then he'd stand over the top and put his hands in the air and go, I didn't do it.
Christian Bardsley style.
Yes. So I reckon it's just I think it's one of those what you would classify as a tradition in some respects that players do it. I'd love to see somebody keep it in, or even Kingy, just to add a bit, just have it, you know, when they have it half hanging out and just chomping on it while you're having the shot. I think it might help the focus.
Edmund 59.
Harry McKay should try it. He could try anything.
Can we get back to our best? What is wrong with us? Edmund 59.
Well, we got 1,000 players out and we're not playing well. That's the reality. They've got too many players down, and they don't have the cattle, and their midfield is unfortunately, yeah, I reckon it's 17th in the comp on current cattle. That's just the reality. And there's players, like, I think if you're just going across the board, players who have played regularly this year, who would you say has at least been the equal, if not slightly better, of what they produced last year?
Myers.
Myers is one.
Radicalia.
Yeah, well, he didn't play last year, so that's an addition.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about players that played.
I would have said Cameron until about round 6 or 7.
And he's been pretty good, though. I think you take it overall. He's
Stewart.
Stewart's maintained. I think Collar Jasny. That's it.
I'm just trying to think. Yeah.
No. Tui's way down.
Isaac Smith's down.
Isaac Smith is down.
Brad Close is down. Brad Close is really bad.
Down. Stengel down. Who else have we got? I think Zach Guthrie's been down.
Atkins is probably equivalent.
equivalent, trying to play a role that he's not really equipped to play.
Blitzarve's probably equivalent.
Yeah. Yes. Only marginally. I think the effort from those two has been great. They're just not creative midfielders. That's the thing. That's what they're being asked to do. Mm. And I don't know. I'd be debating those two, but I'm not criticising them. They're giving their all.
Well,
yeah.
If you're counting best and fairest votes right now, they'd both be top 10.
Yeah, but that probably wouldn't be that hard, would it?
No.
There's some blokes who can't get near it.
That'll talking about that Saturday night Kaji Greaves halfway mark discussion, part of the pre-game, Benny.
This weekend?
Yep.
Well, Kaji Greaves. Mm. Yeah, love a bit of Kaji talk.
Mm. Off the big footy, Howl of 41, it rains, it pours, more injuries, more bad goal kicking, more loss. I'd chuck in some average umpiring decisions too, but I'd hate to sound like a whinger. Make no bones about it, we are not getting better until the midfield cavalry returns. I think there's a gap in our list now. We might be needing a 24, 26-year-old midfielder to bridge Bruin, Clark, Holmes. We'll all be good, but it's too much too soon. Well, that's interesting. What do they draft? A 25-year-old midfielder. Giants made us look terribly slow with no danger. Holmes, Rowan, we lacked pace. I know Segler tries, but he's not AFL standard. No. And he's slow as a wet week. I'd rather play blitz in the ruck, even if he loses every hit out. He can pressure and follow up.
You get better spread from frozen butter, I reckon.
Brandon Parfitt has gone backwards quicker than a bullet train going the wrong way. We actually outscored the Giants in three of the four quarters, correct? And when we wrestled momentum back for a brief time, kicked 4-5 to 4 straight. I'm keeping O'Sheen Mullen in. He has pace and provides unpredicted predictability.
Yeah, he was quite good, wasn't he, that fella?
Tanner Bruin played 53% game time, was actually on the ground less than Asava. Is he injured or lacking fitness?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Seems a bit weird for a player that... I mean, he's still young. Is he 21 yet?
Turned 21 last week. We talked about it on air, Benny.
Did we?
Yep.
Yeah, I got dementia, Kenny, so I can't remember what happened last week. I'm meeting new people all the time. But, 53%, that's a little bit odd, isn't it?
Catch the
Maybe
few.
He is. Well, I know he copped the shoulder, so did that keep him off?
Yeah, it did for a little while.
Yeah.
Cats of the future leadership. The team looked devoid of it in the middle, bereft of direction. When things went wrong, we couldn't adjust because the kids didn't know how. No one was telling them. Is Joel available in the mid-season draft?
Yeah, no, those days unfortunately are over, having the 14 just sort of steering the ship. But
okay, I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
What would have Geelong won of two of the last three if Joel had been in the side? Not Joel now, 36-year-old, 35-year-old Joel, but... He almost wills them to victory over Richmond and GWS, doesn't he?
Oh, he makes a difference, but I'd argue that, you know, Dangerfield, Guthrie and Duncan would also make a big difference.
Yeah, well, I'm saying with them out, like if you still have one of that quartet or one of that trio in terms of Dangerfield, Guthrie, Selwood, one gets probably puts them on the back.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, but they're sort of intangibles. I mean, how long's a piece of string?
It's very hypothetical, yes.
There seems to be a bit of a lack of connection between, you know, forwards and backs. And the other thing that happens, Kingy, they shorted up late in the game. Well, even then, they got a couple of goals of the four that they kicked GWS. But the ball is coming out of their back half at times just with too much speed. And it's catching everybody off. There's also some turnovers, horror turnovers, which are hurting them. And they're going to hurt any team. But... just the way, I mean, I can, last 3 weeks in the three losses, somebody knocking on the door, Kingy? Who was that?
No, I'm not sure.
The last three losses you could name, and I'm only just going off the top of my head here, but I reckon the opposition got three or four goals directly from the ball just exploding out of the back half and ended up going through the goals without Geelong touching it.
Yep.
And that wasn't Geelong last year. That wasn't happening. This year it's happening far too often and... it's killing them, and then they don't have the capacity to overcome that. The work rate's there, the effort's there. It's just I think one of the things too, Kingy, the defensive aspect of the game is not where it needs to be in terms of just round stoppages and all those sorts of things. And that's what happens when you've got young players.
Good Craig Mullen. Is that the best fifth game of football ever played? He's been deployed to halfback, I think, because that's where he was played in Gaelic, and it's a good place to learn. But he has really good attacking flair, powerful frame. Is he a midfielder?
Is this Billy O'Sheen?
O'Sheen Mullen.
Billy O'Sheen. What did he sing? What did Billy sing?
Did he sing "Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car"?
Get into my what?
Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car.
I've got another version of that that I used to sing.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm moving on.
I think that kid,
I think he's going to be
23.
Star.
I think I liked a little. He gave you a little. There was a twinge in the.
When he had that effort where he had the shot at goal.
There was a twinge in the Murray Rant, wasn't there? And we heard Grime Eyes on after the game, who suggested that he'd be the fastest player in the AFL. So seriously, I think once he gets up and hoiking, he's got wheels. He just needs to learn the game. He made a couple of mistakes, which is always going to happen. But yeah, I actually quite liked him. But whether it's half back or I think sometimes, I mean, those Irish players, Kingy, I'm thinking of Tui, I'm thinking of Ty Kennelly, I'm thinking of Connor McKenna, Mark O'Connor.
Piers Hanley.
All really good off half-back. I think when the game's when they've got the game in front of them. And it's not to say this kid couldn't become a midfielder, but it seems that that is maybe an easier transition to make when you're playing at that half-back and you can actually rebound and use your attack. Because I think if you're an attacking defender, you can have as much influence on the game as a midfielder. In terms of, and you can, you possibly argue have some more because I think some midfielders just rack up stats, meaningless bloody hand passes sideways, and whereas if you've got a attacking defender who can turn defence into attack, run 15, kick at 50, they can have more influence on the game.
The Return of Zorro, the movie was critically panned. Is this just cobwebs? Or are we trying to get too cute playing deconing forward? Sav injury probably makes it an academic question. Yeah, he's going back.
Yeah, I 100% agree. They got way too cute with deconing playing up forward.
The barometer is at 1,019 hectopascals in the forward 50. The pressure from our forward line to hold was was non-existent. Amaya's close, Stengel hideously out of form, or are they running through the midfield? And this is a problem elsewhere in the ground, cascading to other parts. Myers isn't out of form.
He's not out of form, but he of the pressure players, he's probably the third pressure player. He's more attacking.
Yeah, Stengel and Close provide good pressure.
Yeah, and that's not the actual strong suit of Grind. Grind's strong suit is to be the link between back and forward, work up the ground, and then create goals or hopefully snag a couple himself. He's kicked 1-9. He missed that one from the goal square. We spoke to him after the game. He couldn't believe that he'd missed that. He actually apologised to the fans.
He did, yep.
But he's different. Close and Stengel are the ones who can put that real pressure on. They're not doing it. And I think Grind's been, of those three, has been by far the best or the most consistent.
Cam Guthrie and Reece Stanley listed as indefinite timeframes to return. Should our whole injury list be listed as indefinite, as a club definitely doesn't define return timeframe? The fans are a bit frustrated by this. The Cats have said to me in the past that they don't do weeks now because when the weeks didn't, you know, it didn't fall in those weeks.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous argument.
And then the fans...
Oh, so were the fans what, right, said, oh, because you said it was going to be 4 weeks and he's not here. Well, what happens then? They're whinging now that it's saying short-term and long-term. So what's the difference?
I don't think the Cats are changing because of what the fans think.
The Cats could give a flying fajutsi what the fans think. It could the AFL.
Yep. What's the deal with the SDK starting forward? Surely just let the kid settle down back where he's best suited. Well, that's where he's going.
100%.
Parfitt needs a run in the twos, regardless of how short of depth we are in the middle. Gets benched when the game is on the line in the last quarter, so it appears coaches don't trust him. Need 4 weeks of 25-plus in the VFL to regain confidence, I reckon. Yeah, but going to get 25 in the VFL if you play Coburg, Port Melbourne, Preston, Frankston, doesn't really mean a lot. You're playing against blokes who rock up train twice a week and turn out on a Saturday, you know.
You're playing against arc welders.
Yeah. I think he's staying there. Daz Broncos can't take a trick on the injury front this season. Sav out now for a few. On getting players back into the 22. I get you want them to be right, but we have to get back on the W list soon. It won't matter if we bring back Gas, as the season will be gone. Oh, Gary Ablett Senior. And then these next three over 4 weeks are not easy at all. Bringing just one player back won't change the outcome, but three might. Can we afford to hold one more week? Effectively two with the buyer. Is it all bust time now? VFL, was Oscar Riccardi rested last week? And I'm not sure on his situation. Like Clahisi, Foster, Dempsey and Murdoch again, all must go again next year. And still no official word on Neil re-signing. I'm not liking that. Well, we've been told that he's going to re-sign, so...
It still hasn't happened. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's not so it official.
Seems a long gap between sort of saying he's going to and then nothing happening.
Out of here, Benny. No me Saturday night. Jason is going to control things and try and keep you under. Oh,
I'll be off the leash for sure. Yeah, yeah. We'll be off air by three-quarter time.
That's what I'm worried about. Goodbye, Benny.
Right, and bye-bye.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.